Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, in the first 5 months of this year, there were 468 suicide cases recorded by the police. This means that on average, 3 deaths by suicide per day. Within this year up to the month of May. Now, in response to this, the National Coalition of Mental Wellbeing, which was initiated by the Rotary Malaysia, has called for an urgent repeal of Section 309 of the Penal Code, and this in efforts to decriminalise attempted suicide. So tonight on the show, we're going to discuss these efforts and why there is still resistance to decriminalisation and why that remains. Our first guest on the show today, we have Dato' Sri M. Ramachelvan. He's the co-chairperson of the Bar Council's Law Reform and Special Areas Committee. He's also a member of the Decriminalisation of Suicide Focus Group for the National Coalition for Mental Wellbeing. Rama, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you on Consider This.
Welcome, Melissa.
If I may begin our conversation, Rama, today with looking specifically at Section 309, which criminalises the attempted suicide with imprisonment of up to 1 year or fines or even both, and this regardless of the reasons behind the suicide attempt. One of the main reasons behind maintaining this law is the idea that if you criminalise suicide, it would deter more attempts, or decriminalisation would lead to more suicide attempts. I'm wondering, Rama, whether there's been evidence to support this belief, whether the law in fact does act as a deterrent.
Melissa, the law is a law that has been inherited from British colonial times. So it's one of those inherited laws in our penal code. And obviously, the thinking then was that the law would act as a deterrent. However, I think studies have been done over the years that has proven that this law does not act as a deterrent. Many of the Commonwealth jurisdictions throughout the world have actually moved on to decriminalize the offence of attempted suicide. This includes the United Kingdom, which decriminalised in 1961, India in 2014, and Singapore on the 1st of January 2020. Today, most of the countries have actually decriminalised attempted suicide. In ASEAN, we are one of the only 3 countries that actually criminalises suicide. Alongside Myanmar and Brunei.
Rama, if I can ask you about this law, this legacy, as you say, of British colonial times. Presumably, it was based on certain Christian precepts about suicide being a sin. And I wonder that link between religious and cultural notions of suicide as either a failure, a moral failure, and so on and so forth, the need to actually enact it as a law and make it criminal. Is this something that we can, in fact, de-link?
In fact, I think quite a lot of laws are based on morality and religious principles. And a lot of our common law has got Judeo-Christian morality behind it as well. And you're absolutely right, Sharad, that this is one of those laws that is based on morality and on the principle of deterrence. However, empirical evidence has shown that Section 309 does not act as a deterrence. In fact, I think there is now clear evidence to show that even after decriminalization in those countries, the rate of suicide has not gone up. In fact, that definitely does not reduce the number of suicides. Further evidence shows that when you decriminalize suicide, the numbers tend to decrease because people would then avail themselves of mental health facilities and other assistance that's required.
That was a follow-up to my next question as well, because, you know, in my introduction, I mentioned the shocking statistics of having, you know, on average per day, 3 deaths by suicide within the first 5 months of this year. And I'm just wondering what decriminalizing suicide will achieve. You've just said that, you know, it's the studies have shown that it actually reduces the case, the number of deaths by suicide. Is this the right time to be pushing for decriminalization of suicide?
Yes, and I must state this, that for many years, the civil society, mental health specialists, health experts have been pushing for the decriminalization of suicide. Way back in 2012, there was already a study, and in 2012, the then health minister actually came out and said that suicide should be actually decriminalized. In 2019, the then law minister, Dato' V.K. Liu, said that he would be moving amendments, the bill to repeal Section 309. That was supposed to have happened in 2020. In 2020, again, a parliamentary reply by the government says that the Attorney General's Chambers is studying various jurisdictions on the issue of decriminalization. I think it should be done immediately. I think studies throughout the world have shown that criminalizing suicide does not prevent suicide. In fact, it has the reverse effect. It is also the World Health Organization's call to countries around the world that suicide be decriminalized. I think the moment is now and we should not delay anymore.
Rama, can you help us understand what the legal complexities might be with the repeal of this particular section in the penal code? Are there, in some instances, laws kind of bundled together? See, different types of acts might actually come under a single section. So is there a possibility that the lack of progress has to do with some of the complexities that in repealing Section 309, other issues might also need to be addressed that, you know, that might actually be somehow diminished by the repeal?
Sharad, as far as Section 309 is concerned, I do not see much complication repealing this law. All you need to do is to move a bill to say that that particular section is repealed, and that's it. That's the way many countries have done it, is just to repeal that particular provision. Some other countries have gone through in a different route, like India, for instance. They had the Suicide Act, which decriminalized Section 309. They said nobody can be charged under Section 309. They did not remove 309. But most of the jurisdictions actually just passed a law to say that Section 309 is no longer in the statute books. By removing 309, some would then say there's this issue of abetment, assisting, and so on and so forth. These two things can easily be dealing, Sharad. Many jurisdictions, what they have done, they have left the attempted and the abetment. They have dealing the attempted suicide and the abetment. Abetment is in the statute books of most countries, including India, Singapore, and so on and so forth. It is, to my mind, a very low-hanging fruit for the government as far as legislation is concerned.
Can we address why this law, this specific law, is so dangerous? I'm just wondering what happens to a person who is charged under this law, under this provision, a person who has failed in a suicide attempt and is charged under this provision. What happens to him or her? I mean, what is the danger of this law?
You see, the problem that this law creates is this. If you look at the whole issue of suicide, every completed act of suicide, for every completed act of suicide, there are something like 20 attempted attempts prior to that. That is one. So you have the actual numbers has to be, the actual attempts would be 20 times more. That's what the medical experts say, okay, before a suicide is completed. You also have the issue of persons who are suicidal would not access medical, especially mental health care. And people who are contemplating suicide and so on and so forth, or who have attempted suicide, those things would not get reported, because either by doctors or family members. Because if you report it, then you have a potential criminal charge on your hand. So therefore, there is this whole issue of under-reporting. And because of under-reporting, the persons do not get the requisite medical health and other related care and rehabilitative care and so on and so forth. So this act, this particular section, and of course the other thing, the most important thing again, section 309, basically what it does, it actually criminalizes the victim. Because in a suicide, attempted suicide case, the person charged is actually the victim himself.
Yeah, it's sort of a victimless crime. I wonder though, Ram, if you can help us understand whether in actual practice, the AG's chambers or the police have pursued attempted suicides to the fullest extent of the law. I mean, have they thrown the book at suicide people who have failed in their suicide attempts? Have they gotten the maximum jail sentence, the maximum fines? Is that the actual practice?
As far as suicide is concerned in our country, there have been some cases that have been prosecuted. I think those have been reported as recent as in August 2020. There was the case of this unemployed person jumping from the floor of the building. He was fined 3,000. And in February 2020, this person who was disabled from Kuala Nauru, who was given 6 months imprisonment. And there have been cases. To be fair to the government and to the Attorney General's chambers, they have not thrown the book at everybody who's attempted suicide. I read a statistic which said, from the police, where they said, in terms of prosecution, about 11% of attempted suicide cases are prosecuted. So in that sense, it's not, Sharad, to answer your question, they have not gone after each and every one who's attempted suicide.
Right. And I wanted to ask about this, so that the calls by the National Coalition for Mental Wellbeing are calling for decriminalizing suicide attempts right now. I'm wondering who this campaign is targeted to in terms of awareness and the calls for it. Tell us where does the onus lie now? Where is the ball, and whose court is the ball in right now?
Obviously, for any law reform, it is in the hands of the government. First and foremost, we urge the government to take steps to repeal Section 309. Because in our system of governance, it is the executive that moves for amendments, for laws, for reform of laws in parliament. And thereafter, of course, this move is aimed at legislators as well. Legislators, of course, have to pass the law that is proposed by the government. And I think this is something we can get agreement across the board. Yeah, because I think there is consensus across the board that this law does not serve the purpose it is intended, and it actually works negatively. Therefore, it is imperative that this law be repealed. And thirdly, of course, to the general public, so that the general public would take this up with their respective legislators to push for this reform.
Ramal, if I can ask you, coming back to an earlier question about delinking the question of sin and the question of crime, has there been an effort to reach out to religious leaders? And also, in I think very recently, the Sultan of Selangor made a statement about suicide as well, in the sense that, you know, in their minds and in their pronouncements, they seem to continue to link suicide with sin or moral failing, and therefore seem maybe dampen any enthusiasm for decriminalization. That seems to be an act of condoning suicide.
The morality aside, I mean, it's of course, most religious traditions say that suicide is wrong. They do not condone suicide. However, the issue here is the law of those who have attempted suicide and survived. Suicide is one crime where if the crime is completed, it is then not a crime. It's only in the event the crime is not completed, it becomes a crime. It's the attempt that is the crime. So we have to look at it in a holistic manner, that the law does not solve the problem. And to make moral judgments is very easy. And I think we have to take into account that obviously the views of religious scholars and so on and so forth have to be taken into account. And I understand that the Attorney General's Chambers would be doing that. However, let's look at the bigger picture. We have seen countries throughout the world. In the whole of Western Europe, it has been decriminalized. If you look at Islamic countries, the biggest Islamic country in the world, Indonesia, suicide is not a crime. If you look at the country which has the most number of Islamic scholars, probably Egypt, it is not a crime. In Turkey, it is not a crime. In the United Arab Emirates, it's not a crime. So in quite a few Islamic countries, suicide, attempted suicide is not a crime. So we would think that, this argument that because of issues of morality and so on and so forth, we should not decriminalize. In fact, decriminalizing will save lives because those who have attempted or who are contemplating to attempt would seek the relevant help. And therefore, in the end, there will suicides will be reduced or eliminated. And that's our hope.
That was Dato' Sri M. Ramachelvan, co-chairperson of the Bar Council Law Reform and Special Areas Committee. More on efforts to decriminalise suicide in just a few minutes. We'll stay tuned to consider this. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're discussing calls for decriminalizing attempted suicides and why resistance to these efforts remain. Dato' Bindi Rajasekaran joins us on the show now. She's one of the Rotary Club's district governors. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Bindi, I want to talk a little bit about the National Coalition of Mental Wellbeing, which was initiated by Rotary Malaysia. And one of the initiatives under that has been calling for the urgent ramp up of efforts to decriminalize attempted suicide, particularly by repealing Section 309 of the Penal Code. And I'm just wondering, if we were to take a look at the the campaign as a whole, why is it important to be discussing, mental well-being and addressing issues like suicide and decriminalizing attempted suicides?
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. And it's good to be on the show. Okay, just briefly allow me to give the bigger picture. You see, a couple of years ago, when we started looking into the mental health agenda, we found there was very much more that needed to be done in terms of stigma on mental health and awareness and issues in the schools itself. Because according to the NHMS report, there were 500,000 children, school children in schools, suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, and also 1 in 3 suffer from bullying and so on. So we started off, you know, trying to address that issue, and we found that this, we needed to do something across the board. So that is how we created the National Coalition for Mental Wellbeing, where we invited all the stakeholders to come on board to pool our resources together. You know, we have a range of members, including a lot of organizations, and they have the professional expertise to address these issues. As Rotarians, not all of us have the proper expertise, and mental health is a very sensitive agenda, you know, and we are guided by the Ministry of Health and a few other ministries, because we need to work closely according to the national agenda on this.
Right. Bindi, can I ask you, in terms of the stakeholders, do you include social leaders? I'm thinking particularly of faith communities, where there might be some resistance, especially when there's a kind of confusion between moral judgments about people who try or do in fact commit suicide, versus the question of whether it should be deemed a criminal act. Are they part of the conversation that you're having, and what are their attitudes?
If you talk about the social perspective of it, we don't really go into the other side of the arena. All we are trying, there is so much of work to do on our end. So we are trying to create the awareness. We are trying to focus on youth and adolescents. We are trying to give parents some awareness programs, psychosocial support, addressing the issue of stigma and discrimination. Mental health in the workplace is a huge agenda. A lot of people are losing their jobs, and we have been receiving a lot of requests. So the social part of it, no, we do not face any resistance, because at this point of time, any help is so welcomed by everybody. They are reaching out to us. So no resistance where that is concerned.
Well, I mean, you know, we've had some really troubling statistics recently on, you know, talking about, in the first 5 months of this year, almost three deaths by suicide on average a day. And I think those figures are shocking. But one of the things that I am struck by is also the lack of data and information collected around deaths by suicide, but also collective national mental well-being. We don't know how Malaysia collectively is doing in terms of mental health. One of the things also is that Suhakam had called for a national registry, a suicide registry, to be revived. I think we had one, but then it was taken offline. So tell us, you know, based on the data that you do have, whether it is enough to make a diagnosis and assessment of the national mental well-being, and why it's important to have more, to collect more data about this.
Okay, you see, a world over, a lot of solutions are data-based. And yes, you're right, the national registry was abandoned in early 20s, and I'm glad to know that recently MOH has started reviving, but there is a lot to be in place before the data can actually be collated. You know, a lot of organizations need to come together, for instance, the police and the hospitals and so on. So So accurate data is a problem to be captured, and we are unsure of the the cases reported by MOH, whether they are correct or not. Like you mentioned, it's about 4 a day. But due to the stigma, the numbers could be even much higher, because a lot of families do not report the cases as suicide. So we really do not know the actual numbers per se.
Yeah. And it's important to have these numbers also, so, you know, policy and action can be taken. Dato' Bindi Rajasekaran of Rotary Malaysia there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This, bringing a little bit of awareness onto the issue of the efforts to decriminalise attempted suicide. That's all we have for you for this show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.